they want him.
There's no way they don't want him.
Yeah, where did that come from there, Hellboy? Where did this thing the Cowboys don't want him come
Bleacher
from?
Bleacher Report stuff?
Yeah. Don't believe everything you read.
I have to.
Oh, okay.
Yes, dude. Hey, we are joined. Well, wait a minute. We'll wait for your bongos.
You're out of order!
You know, for months I was begging him to play that thing.
And then he's just,
now suddenly he's figured it out.
Well, he's finally figured out what buttons back there are working for what. He's got little labels, post-it notes everywhere. Oh.
I'm trying to read them right now.
Don't talk while you're playing the bongos.
Multitasking. Focus. I'm also breathing.
Don't breathe.
Okay.
We are joined.
I got it.
That's the crowd. Okay. I was in a, this was actually in a church. I walk by, I'm in a church, you know, and it's one of those schools, churches and everything. And I hear this noise coming from the, you know, the church itself, the church area. This went on because I was in that area for 10 minutes. Boom, boom, tsh, boom, boom, tsh. Imagine that for 10 minutes with the speakers turned all the way up. That's all the guy could do is boom, boom, tsh.
Is he like six?
No, he was a guy. He was menacing looking. He had the shaved head and the long beard. It was
very good, Hellboy.
He's a little biker looking to me, really? But I mean, learn something besides boom, boom, tsh, boom, boom. Tsh. Hey, who else we got there? Is Sam still getting to them? Or are they callers wanting to talk
to
Marsh?
You gave her a lot of work to do.
I did. All right. Okay. We are joined by Marsh Hallberg, Hallberg Criminal Defense. Today's Marsh Hallberg Sports Law segment on 105 The Ticket, brought to you by Smart Start MN Ignition Interlock Systems. If you need to drive, they can help. And let me mention, too, by the way, for Chad, we want to have you come in here next Tuesday when Marsh is in here. So get in touch with Sam and we'll set it up, or get in touch with me. Marsh, you have... my head is swimming from all the opportunities and options to talk about. Where do you want to start? There's a ton of stuff.
Well, you know, we always wondered if there'd be enough law and business issues to talk about on this spot. Holy cow. It's
yes, plenty.
It's trying to narrow it down. Well, I think you start maybe with the front of the Star Tribune today. I know a lot of people start sleeping when they hear about soccer, but there are a fair number. Yeah, I know, but there are a fair number of fanatical soccer fans out there. And
you're one of them, aren't you?
I'm really not, but we've got a couple in our office, and they've got it on 24/7. It seems like a soccer game is on every moment.
Where were they born?
They're born here, but they just...
They played as kids, and they can't let go.
Yeah, they love this stuff. But anyway, so supposedly the big news, and we're a day ahead of it here, is that a guy named Don Garber, who's the MLS, the soccer commissioner, is coming to town tomorrow. Going to have a huge announcement, big announcement, they say. So what could that be? It's going to be that we are landing a... soccer team. And I think that's going to make us one of only a handful of teams in the entire country with five major pro teams. And
well, Denver's, four major pro teams in soccer.
Right. Five teams. I think Denver's the only one that's smaller than us population-wise that's going to be able to have that claim to fame. So it's an exciting thing. The battle I think I've enjoyed just from the business standpoint has been, I thought the Wolves had a lock on this from the get-go. One of the things I criticized back when the stadium was being built, which I agree with you, is awesome and looks like it could be played in about a week.
Yes.
But it seemed like the Wolves have a five-year exclusive deal that if a soccer team comes to town, and the only way they can play in that vacant stadium is if it's owned by the Wolves. That seemed like something that I didn't think was appropriate to throw in there, but it was, and it is what it is. But I thought with that kind of a chip to put on the table, that you got a state-of-the-art billion-dollar facility to come to, all the, you know, traffic connections, everything are all there, go-to destination, that was going to be the push that Wolves would win. But, you know, they didn't contemplate they're going to go up against Mill McGuire, big exec at United Healthcare, the Pollad family, Glenn Taylor with the Timberwolves. That's a real powerful trio, those three guys.
Well, you'd think the argument they made is, hey, these guys aren't Minnesota people. Yeah. We're Minnesota. And where are they playing, though? They're going to play at the only options right now, unless they're going to fund it themselves. And historically, the Pollads are not known for funding stadiums themselves. And, you know, Glenn Taylor's gotten help from the city to build. And, you know, you're talking about a guy who built a, you know, healthcare giant, but... Right. You know, I've seen the premiums.
Yeah, well,
so I mean, who's paying for it?
Well, that's the whole thing. Is that the
if it's a new one?
Yeah, and there's a good editorial also in the Star Tribune today about that issue. Concern that politics are being played here. That people that feel indebted to the Wolves have tainted the well and made it such politically that it's not even something to talk about. And again, because I think so much air came out of the balloon when the Viking Stadium finally got financed, that nobody wants to talk about that again. So, I mean, I'm excited to see them come. I think the point you make is when you're trying to make a sale, listen to the customer and listen to what they want. And in this case, soccer wanted an outdoor stadium. They want a 20,000-person outdoor exclusive soccer stadium. Wilfs kept pitching what they've got because that's what they had to sell. So Pollad and McGuire and Glenn Taylor were smart enough to come and say, that's what you want, and that's what you're going to have if you pick us. You're going to have a downtown stadium right downtown, built on the farmer's market site, and that's where we'll go with it.
Again, let's hear who's going to pay for
it.
Because if they look for any, the city won't come up with the money.
No, and the problem they really, the gun-shy thing I think they've got a problem with is that the soccer league is already, they're at, 20 teams right now. They're willing to go to 24. They made a commitment to Miami with Beckham to come there. And so they awarded them, his group, a team in Miami, but they don't have a stadium. And they're sitting there in the same problem.
Same thing. They don't have, they shouldn't even try to build one. Either put it one of two places. Put it at the TCF Bank Stadium, which is configured as a football field to play soccer, or put it at Target Field.
Yeah,
it's outdoors.
I think your idea at the college site is just university site is really a
you close off the upper ring.
It's built. It's done. It's a known quantity. It draws people to that part of the city. I think it'd be great. So I'm a big fan of stadiums.
Yeah. We'll get college students because it's a they play in decent weather,
right? And that's maybe a group too that you want to try to gear to, because more younger people have played soccer than us old guys that never had it as even an option when I was in school, that are more attuned to want to play it. That's I think a good logistical thing to do. So it's been an interesting battle to see they're coming to town and how it gets financed. In a little footnote in Obama's current budget plan is to take away any federal ability to have tax-exempt bonding. That discussion won't even happen in Minnesota, but it's going to have to be some other creative thing through, some traffic subsidies and other stuff. Naming rights is one big thing they can get some money off of.
All of these families, and I don't know about McGuire, but two of them are billionaires.
Right.
I mean, the Pollad family is worth billions, and so is... certainly Glenn Taylor is. I'm guessing McGuire is too, right?
Yeah, I think they're saying the stadium, to build this outdoor stadium is $100 to $150 million, which sounds like nothing compared to the $1 billion for the Vikings.
You're talking about $33 to $50 million apiece.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and they got $100 million, I think, they have to pay to buy their franchise. So that's a pretty big downside. So it's about...
Why would you want the damn thing?
Well, it's a growing... I mean...
Is it?
And again, so, a lot of the world, they look at us and go, what are you guys doing wrong?
Yeah, I know
here?
That, but we've been talking about this going for 40 years. I mean, I would go back to the Cosmos when they filled the stadiums and were giving most of the tickets away. I've talked about that before. Well, you know what? Let's move on to something people
actually are interested in, like Adrian Peterson.
Number one, there's no way this agent is out there saying these things about poisoning the well, but I shouldn't be here anymore, unless it's clearly he's had discussions with AP going, I want out of here. Make it that they don't want me either. Let's just make this so bad on both sides that they just will be glad to see me go, because then I get what I want, because I don't want to play in Minnesota.
But see, where it backfires is the Vikings can get what they want, which is not having to pay him.
Right.
Why release him and get nothing, and also you get rid of the salary? But if he doesn't play, if he refuses to show up, you don't have to pay him.
Yeah, well,
and you could fine him too.
Yeah, but he'd show. But
if he showed, he's going to play, and he's going to play hard. He shows up in that locker room, he's not going to dog it.
No. I Hellboy had the little soundbite earlier about the Cowboys. Interest. The Cowboys want him bad.
It's all posturing.
Well, part of that, here's a little crazy theory of mine, is that the whole Greg Hardy thing, the Cowboys this last week have signed Greg Hardy to a one-year deal. Was it $13 million, something like that? It was a bunch of money. There's a fair amount of backlash, but not enough that they've survive that. But I think that was a little test balloon they put out to say, okay, how is this going to go? If the Hardy thing had gone sideways really badly, then they could change their position on AP. Going, you know what? You get a few days of bad sound bites and you're over it and you got a great player. We'll do the same thing with AP. So I really think the Greg Hardy thing was a test balloon for AP. I really do.
They just have to come up with the money, but there's creative ways to do it.
Oh, yeah.
This restructuring means they give the more guaranteed money they give them, they may turn it into a signing bonus. They can work something out.
And to go to that team, clearly can go to the Super Bowl next year.
Yes.
That kind of getting Hardy, getting him, that's something. Some of these players are going to take a little bit less money to be on that kind of a team. So I think that's going to will happen.
And now, please sort out for us. We talked about it yesterday when you called in. And thank you for that.
Yep.
Talked to Marsh Hallberg, of course, from Hallberg Criminal Defense. The Darren Sharper situation. Now we're hearing it's 9 years across the board in every state. But what's the latest? Because you would know.
Well, again, we both Debbie Lang and I went on today and did as best research we could on this, because everybody is in the media so, quick to be the first one to report. And we had so many articles out yesterday throwing lots of crazy numbers out and everything else. Here's what we know for sure. We know that we've got pleas in two states so far, right? We've got the Arizona, we've got California. We know that they've agreed to run those concurrent, that is, at the same time. We know that in a federal case, you do roughly 85% of the sentence. Unlike a third off in like a state case in Minnesota, you do two-thirds of a case. In federal court, you do most of it. So almost 90% of it. So we know that. And we know that he's looking at about 8-9 years, give or take, on those two cases together. So now you still got the two cases that are left. There's some back, you know, room negotiations, again, proper, and I'm sure they're confirming emails and letters or whatever else to confirm this, but he's got to walk into Louisiana and plead guilty. That's a 20-year sentence there. Now, the court has the ability to cut that in half and give him 10 years. He's been in custody for years, so he gets 9. So the two questions we assume we know the answer to, but we do not know the answer to is Louisiana going to give him half the sentence, they can take the 20 down to 10, and secondly, are they going to run it at the same time? We don't know that, and that really affects the swing. It could be as little as 9. So in theory, and then you've got the last plea yet to come in. If that runs concurrent, it's conceivable that this guy with 9 victims could get only a total of 9 years, which is mind-boggling.
Stunning.
Stunningly shocking in the sense that in Minnesota, if you're convicted of one count of criminal sexual conduct in the first degree, so one count of that, incapacitated person, that's 144 months. That's 12 years. That's one victim with 12 years. And he's looking at 9
years. And that's a mandatory sentence.
Well, it's a presumptive sentence. You can depart from the guidelines, but it's where you start. When you walk into court, the presumption is 12 years in prison. The government can argue for more. The defense can argue for less.
I certainly would be arguing for more.
Yeah.
Because you've destroyed a lot. I mean, you have absolutely, no matter what, how you look at it, lives have been damaged, if not destroyed, by something like that. Yeah. And not, I mean, the victims certainly, but there's people who are impacted by it. You know, family members,
yeah.
And so many that it's life-changing. Now, it's unbelievable that they would allow this to happen. One of them should have taken him to court and given him the full brunt of it and throw him away for life. And then it doesn't matter about the other ones.
Well, one thing this doesn't, the deal is very clear on, if someone else comes forward and says, I too have been a victim, that's a new charge, and they could then, this thing called Spriegel we've talked about, you can bring in evidence of past convictions, past patterns. She says, yeah, I was drugged too, like these other women. You could parade 9 women into that same jury till we all had the same thing happen to us before number 10 gets up and tells her story. So that'd be a knockout punch for them. But let's not be so sure. Louisiana could well come down with 10 years and add it on to the 9. It could be a 19-year sentence, which if you're his defense attorney, go, look, buddy, you're 39 years old. You're almost 40. You get another 19 years, you're out in 59. You get a couple years off for a good time. Maybe you're out when you're like 57-ish. So you get out, you're 57. Hey, you got a lot of life left to live. You want to go roll the dice on any of these, you could get life in some of these states on their convictions alone, or at least you could get 20, 30, 40 years, which is in effect life sentence.
See, so I wonder if any of these states, which one would be the most unscrupulous, although I'd be cheering for it if it happened, they're holding back another woman to come forward after he's pleaded guilty to all this.
Could well be.
And then, because he's already pleaded guilty, and now it's just, you know, for them, it's really taking him to the where he needs to go, which is put away for forever.
Right. Well, he's got, I think one of the women come forward today, too, and I think he's really starting a civil claim. I don't know if he's got any money left or what his situation is, but they'll be lining up for that.
He can't have much money left.
No.
I mean, yes, he made good money, but the legal fees, I mean, it's a case like this, you would have a better idea. It's got to be in the tens, could be hundreds of thousands, right?
Hundreds. You're talking hundreds of thousands for 4 states.
So behave, everybody. Who's still on hold there? Is that still one of the callers?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. By the way, Marsh Hallberg's from Marsh Hallberg, Marsh Hallberg from Hallberg Criminal Defense, his sports law segment on 105 The Ticket, brought to you by Smart Start MN Ignition Interlock Systems. When you need to drive, they can help. Going to take a quick break. Marsh will stay with us, and we're going to be joined by Dave Schwartz from the number 11. Talk to him a little bit about the Wild. Boy, that team's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Debbie Lang must be thrilled. One of your partners.
Yeah, she's wearing Wild jerseys every day.
You know what? Then they need to lose. It's disgusting in the office. We'll be right back with Dave Schwartz talking about the Wild at 8 p.m.
The Bob Sansevier Show, only on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Boyle takes the draw for Minnesota. Boyle able to center, they score! Bannett took the first shot, Charlie Coyle the second, and Minnesota is on the board first. Suter in for Minnesota, drops it back, Bannett scores! Second point of the night for Bannett, off the feed from Ryan Suter, 4 seconds left. Riley sends it in.
You know, we're fortunate because Marsh Hallberg is staying with us, and that means we score!
Woo!
And we're joined by Dave Schwartz from Care 11, and we score! Because we have Dave! I love that guy, Dave. The other night when there were six goals, Hellboy here played all six of them.
I'm surprised he has a voice the next day. I don't know how you do that every night and still be able to. It's a lot of hot tea, I would guess.
It's got to be something.
I think Bob's had too much caffeine today, though. He's fired up today.
I'm fired up!
See him? No. I'm glad you're
Dave,
not here.
Dave, thanks for joining us. Dave, by the way, it's him and Jill Hammy. They have a show every Sunday talking about, hockey. Talk about a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And how's it going, by the way? You still having fun?
It's going great. We had a fun show last week. We had, I know a good buddy of yours as well, Mark Parrish, came on and talked with us about a little bit of Wild hockey, a little bit of St. Cloud hockey. They're on the way to the NCAA tournament, so I'm enjoying it. It's been a lot of fun.
What time are you on?
We are 10 to 11. 10 to 11 every Sunday morning.
Good to know.
And give them the name of the show?
The Benchwarmers.
Got it.
You're a starter, my friend. I know you have low self-esteem about this, but you're a starter. You're not a bench warmer.
It's the first time in my life that I've been called non-bench warmer, so I appreciate that.
Well, yeah, you know what? It's because of the bow ties. People think, how could this guy start? He wears bow ties on Sundays.
The bench warmers, the bench is comfortable. I mean, no one ever really knows how bad you can actually suck. So it's not a bad place to be.
That's a good point. Again, Marsh Hallberg, Dave Schwartz, Hellboy over here. Dave, before we talk about the Wild, it's pretty impressive when you look at the, and we'll throw North Dakota in this too, the number of teams in the NCAAs that have ties to Minnesota or right across the border.
Always. I mean, I would venture, and I haven't looked at every single roster, but I would guess maybe 90% or more have at least one or more kids from Minnesota. I mean, it's just the best hockey's played here. I mean, that's just what it is. Well, I know people in Massachusetts will disagree, but that's just the way it is.
Well, okay, this is North Dakota. They're ranked number one still, right?
They're number one going to the tournament. Right, Mankato.
Mankato, okay, Mankato's that's right. I'm sorry. Mankato State, Minnesota State, Mankato, pardon me.
Don't get it wrong.
You got North Dakota, you got St. Cloud State, you got UMD, and you have the Gophers.
Yep.
I mean, that's a hell of a contribution from this part of the country.
And then rosters, and then the other teams who aren't from here probably have a Minnesota or two on their roster.
Yeah. So it's, the chances of a Minnesota team, and again, certainly North Dakota, no Minnesotan's going to say they're North Dakota, but it's still from this region. One of these teams is going to be in the final. I'm sure of that, the way it's setting up.
Yeah, I mean, the way it's setting up, I would put my money on Mankato for sure. The way they're playing right now, too, they're playing such good hockey, and they have the entire season. And I just happen to think that, if you can get through the WCHA, and it's one of the WCHA, MCHA, two of the really tougher conferences. And I am purposefully eliminating the Big Ten out of this because aside from the Gophers, I'm sorry, the Big Ten hockey conference just doesn't do much for me.
No.
But the other two conferences are still pretty tough.
And by the way, all right, just you have in the top 10, Minnesota State is number one, North Dakota's number two. You go down to number six, that's Minnesota Duluth, which the Gophers, who are 10th ranked, will play, and St. Cloud State is at number 12. That's pretty damn good.
And it's an interesting draw, too, for the Gophers, because a lot of people thought they were going to go out to Fargo and play out there, because the NCAA hates to have conference teams play each other in the first round. They have to go all the way out to New Hampshire and play Duluth instead.
Which is stupid.
It is. There's always rules. And it is them, because it's not really the Gophers' fault. It's because St. Cloud State made it, and they didn't want them playing Duluth in the first round, so they flopped.
Yeah, because they didn't want to have both. Yeah, I mean, I could see that to a point.
Yeah, but I think it's stupid, too. I think you do the matchups based on where they're seated, and then you put them in the NCAA, especially when you're looking at you look at the attendance of some of these regionals and the tournaments. I mean, they're just, and you're going to see it. When you turn on that Gopher game on Friday, the attendance is going to be off.
What do they care about these two teams from Minnesota?
And have you seen, by the way, the only regional that's sold out so far? It's Fargo.
Yeah, the one around here, of course it is, because they take their hockey seriously. Now, Dave, I want to ask you and Marsh, but Marsh was saying that he and Debbie Lang's been on with us on the ticket. Huge Wild fan. He was saying she wears her jersey around the office. Marsh, do you have anyone that wears college jerseys around the office? Nobody's that hardcore, are they?
Nope, they're not.
How about Dave? What number 11? They don't wear jerseys that often, do they?
There are a lot of people that we do Jersey Fridays. I don't always partake in it, but they do wear jerseys around the office. I have seen some Gopher hockey jerseys. We used to have a guy who was a huge Gopher hockey fan.
What do you wear when, I mean, when you do wear a jersey, what are you wearing?
I have some really obscure hockey jerseys. I kind of collect a really bizarre one. So my go-to is a CHL jersey of the Shreveport Mudbugs, which is what I got in my old job. It's got awful colors, and the logo is a giant crawfish, but I love it.
That's a pretty good one.
Anywhere.
I have to Google that up. Check it out.
The only jersey, because I got it, we go to a horse show every year in Tulsa, the Tulsa Drillers, and I just, you know, it's a baseball team, but I kind of like that jersey that they have where they're, you know, what their, you know, their top, it's kind of a neat thing. But now, Dave, I got to ask you now about the Wild. What, this team is just, to me, what was impressive about last night, they only went 2-1 against a bad team, but good teams beat bad teams no matter what the score is. They, you know, they might have played at a different level and they don't crush them, but it doesn't matter when you beat them.
I mean, that's what it is. It's, and when you have to win a game, you win the game, and every single game is a must-win game for the Wild. We've said that already, and Devin Dubnyk plays very well again last night, and they win, and now, I mean, this is a tough turnaround. The Islanders, these are not the Islanders that you remember. I mean, these Islanders are good. They have a very good team, which is, by the way, anchored by two Minnesotans, Nick Leddy from Eden Prairie, who plays defense for them, and Anders Lee, who's already won a Rookie of the Month award for the Islanders. He's been playing very, very well.
Now, Dave, stop it right here. I got to interrupt you. Why would you ever take off the Mudbugs jersey or top the sweater? I love that thing. Hellboy called it up. It is hot looking.
Seriously, what orange jersey? And blue?
Oh, the Mudbugs jersey. It's my favorite. Absolutely.
I know. I'd be wearing that every day.
And the great part is they had, so, you know, in the minor leagues, they have all these jersey promotions. So they had 15 or 20 different jerseys. I have one of the promotional ones. It's just like, it's this real, like, LSU purple color. There's only a couple of them made. So I hold that. That one's near and dear to my heart.
Well, this one we're looking at was orange. What was it? What was the other?
Orange and light blue. Looks like, Miami blue, you know?
But anyway, yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I do like that. That's a good one.
I'll wear it next time I'm in just for you.
That'd be great. The old Mudbugs. But anyway, I cut you off in the midst of talking about the Islanders, and this is a, this whole schedule they've had since the beginning, when they had play a game and they had like a week off, and then they had early, then every other night they had a game. Now, back-to-back last night and tonight, and then later in the week when they're back home, they have back-to-backs again. It's just an odd schedule they've been hit with.
You got to earn the playoffs. I mean, that's what it comes down to, and I think that's what the league, and I don't know if that's what they were trying to go for, but that's really, it really makes it a lot. It just throws a wrinkle in the end of the season when you have a couple of these teams, especially like they are in the West, where they're so close in points. You literally have to bring it every night, regardless of the situation. It's almost like they seem to think that it would be too easy near the end, so let's throw a wrinkle and just make them play a couple of back-to-backers to see how they do there.
Well, and what's the thing, Devin Dubnyk, obviously, since he's played, they've had the best record since he joined them. They're beating everyone else by a wide margin in goals and goal differential. It's when you take a look at what has happened to this team, who do you think on this team, this, you know, and it's still premature, but can he be, is he in the running for top goaltender of the year? And what about Mike Yeo after the turnaround this team has had?
You know, we talked about this on Sunday. I think Dubnyk, you have to give him serious consideration simply for what his presence has done. I mean, he's played well when they've needed it, and some nights they haven't needed him to play well, and they still win because they're playing better, and he's just playing average. But on the nights that they need him to, he's never slipped. My problem with giving a Coach of the Year award to Mike Yeo,
it was terrible early,
is that logically, if you're not going to blame him for everything before Devin Dubnyk, you can't really give him credit for everything after Devin Dubnyk. You know what I mean? And so if they didn't fire him for everything that was going wrong, and it wasn't his fault, and we know that, I don't know if you can make him solely responsible for what's happened after he's gotten here, Dubnyk's got here, which is that he was just a catalyst for this team.
Yeah, you know, but when you look at the Vezina Trophy, when you compare him to the other guys who were eligible, he's going to have played about as many games because he's not taking a break and everyone else does.
He might actually you could actually make a better argument for him, and I know this sounds crazy, for the Hart Trophy, for the MVP. He's not going to win it, but if you talk about a guy,
I don't disagree,
who's most important to his team, Devin Dubnyk is absolutely the most important member of this Wild right now, and without a doubt, you can say they wouldn't be where they were without him. And so, if that's what the MVP is, if it truly is the most important person to their team,
He should
you
be.
You can't argue that Devin Dubnyk's not one of them.
I agree with you on that. Dave Schwartz, thank you so much. Dave Schwartz from Care 11. Catch him 10 to 11. The Bench Warmers with Jill Hammy. Come right back. We'll be with Marsh Hallberg and Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune. Suhan on filtered.com. Dave, thanks so much. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Dave.
All right. Anytime, Bob.
All right. Be right back. Did your voice crack a little bit there?
I think it might be changing.
He's hitting puberty. Come
it's
on.
Changing.
Our little Hellboy is growing up.
They finally dropped.
You'll be Hellman soon. It's the Hellboy.
Well, I think maybe no more than one drop. Hellman. No more than one dropped, I'm sure. We are joined by Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune and SuhanUnfiltered.com, where you can find all of Jim's podcasts. Jim, I retweeted your... the tweet that you had about the camel story, and did you see what somebody posted?
I didn't.
Somebody posted, a woman named Julie, to you, me, and 105 The Ticket, animal cruelty to continue on the camel story? Enough already. Who was talking about animal cruelty?
I don't think riding a camel is necessarily welcomed by the camel, but I'm not sure it rises to animal cruelty.
No. I wonder what happened if you tried sitting right on top of the hump, if that would hurt or not.
I'm going to let somebody else test that one. I'll let Adrian test that one.
Yeah.
You know, Adrian likes a challenge.
Now, we found out, Marsh, you know what we're talking about. Yeah. On his birthday, Adrian Peterson rode in on a camel. And we found out, you know, I thought it was a lot more. Hellboy, what was it? $250 for the first hour, $100 for every other hour?
$250 for the first 2 hours.
2 hours.
And then $100 for each additional hour.
That's a hell of a deal.
No, that was a llama guy myself.
Well,
they might be cheaper.
They could be slippery, those llamas. But it was a two hump, right? I confuse the dromedary and whatever the other one is.
I don't know. Either way, to the camel, I bet you Adrian Peterson just feels like a hat.
That's probably true.
Now, yeah, the costumes are a little bizarre too, aren't they? The outfits.
Oh my God! I'm not making jest of this, but you don't hit camels, do you, to make them go faster? Because you see it in movies. I hope they didn't come in with a
little stick.
Yeah, a little stick to hit the camel. That would not have looked good. But maybe that's what the woman meant by animal cruelty. Who knows? Well, Jim,
at this point, I'd be in favor of animal cruelty toward Adrian Peterson. You know, if a camel has to kick Adrian at this point, I'm okay with that.
Yes. Well, they like to spit. I know that. Now, Jim, what do you make of this? So we talked about it earlier. I want to get your take on this. You know, we want out of Minnesota. His, you know, lunkhead agent, this Ben Dagra, saying that. And obviously, as Marsh and I talked about it, Marsh Hallberg from Hallberg Criminal Defense, he's obviously... AP, this would not happen if AP didn't want it to happen, but I don't think it's a smart move at all because he's hurting his trade value by doing this.
I don't know if he's hurting his trade value. He's not helping. I mean, basically what he's doing is he's damaging the ability of his client. I'm going to put her on Adrian. His agent's only dealing with Adrian.
Yeah, exactly.
He's allowing him. Adrian is only damaging his reputation in a place he might be forced to play. You know, he's not helping or hurting his trade value. He's not increasing the likelihood the Vikings will trade him, I don't think. All he's doing is making it harder to come back and actually get through the first month that he's a Viking again, should that happen.
Well, I think once he showed up, all the players would have no problem. The coaches would be all right if he actually, and I think he would show up. And I do think that, the reason I think it hurts a little bit is the leverage, if they know he wants out, other teams are not going to be making their best offer, thinking the Vikings, you know, they're thinking that they're weakened a little bit by knowing he wants out. So I think it could have a little bit of an impact, and I just think it's the best thing for him is just shut up or work behind, you know, back door. This is I can understand why Rob Brzezinski started fighting this guy, this Ben Dagra, when they had that little battle at the scouting combine. He seems like a guy that you want to take a poke at.
Right. And really, you know, we're talking about the trade market. It depends what the trade market is, if there is a trade market. If there's only one team out there that's interested and they feel like Adrian's attitude toward the Vikings plays to their favor, then maybe that hurts the offer they make. But I think whoever tries to trade for Adrian under any circumstance, you're going to have to make make an offer the Vikings value, regardless of his attitude. I mean, the Vikings, I just don't see the Vikings trading, getting rid of him for nothing. I don't see them cutting him.
No.
I don't see them trading just to trade him. I'm sure they trade him for value, but I'm just not sure those negotiations are going to be affected that much by his attitude.
Well, Marsh had Marsh Hallberg from Hallberg Criminal Defense. Give him your theory of what balloon could have been floated here.
Well, here's my thought. Is that the stuff you're hearing maybe today about sound bites, the Cowboys don't want him. The Cowboys want him. They need a running back. It's the piece to the puzzle to get them to the Super Bowl. So I look back and I look at what the Cowboys have done here recently. You know, they had Josh Brent, the defensive tackle that was charged with intoxication manslaughter when he took Jerry Brown's life. Then they had Josh Randall after the theft of underwear and cologne from a local department store. They had C.J. Spillman facing sexual assault allegations. I mean, the Cowboys should be wearing stripes down there, prison stripes versus anything else. So they have Greg Hardy, who they signed just a few days ago. And it was kind of a test balloon. You know, we're going to send him to a one-year contract. He might lose six games, arguably, if the league still steps in and kicks him out. But we'll see what the backlash is for that. And then there was some negativity from that, but they've survived it. So it was a little test balloon. Okay, if we do that with Hardy, we can survive it with AP as well. We've done it with three or four prior Cowboys. So let's see how it goes before we try to sign AP to the Cowboys.
You just made stealing women's underwear from a mall sound really quaint. I mean, that's a good guy. That's the good. That's the captain of your Con Air team, right?
That's why Marsh is such a good attorney. Like, he should ask you, Marsh.
Your Con Air team. I like it, buddy. That's a good visual.
Actually, as Bob knows, all along, ever since I saw the Cowboys running DeMarco Murray in the ground, even when they didn't need to last November, yeah. My theory all along was the Cowboys would be the likely landing spot for Adrian. The question is, if Adrian really wants out, how much less would he play for? Because the Cowboys aren't going to pay Adrian Peterson $13 million.
Right. But they can take him to the Super Bowl, right? So how much do you discount yourself?
If he really wants to play there, then he would have to do it at quite a discount. Is he willing to do that? That's the big... I mean, that's where the push is going to come to shove here, is, okay, it's easy to say you want out of Minnesota. It's easy to you know, use your agent to put out this information. The question is, if you get an opportunity to play elsewhere, would you play for less? Because if you aren't going to play for less, and the Vikings aren't going to be able to trade you for value, then you're either playing in Minnesota or you're sitting on your butt.
That's a very, you know, you should do this professionally. Just think about it. I don't know. That's a pretty good analysis.
It's a little intimidating working with people like Bob.
Okay, so let's flip that. Okay, you're with the Vikings, and the Cowboys seem like the one team that wants you. AP through the back channel says, that's where I want to go. You know, the owner wants him. What's this of value? What do you need? Where's your line in the sand for you to say, we're either going to keep Adrian, pay him a bunch of money and play him here for a year, or we're going to trade him to the Cowboys? What's your number? How many draft choices? What do you need?
At this point, if I'm Spielman, I probably take a second-round draft pick and maybe a functional player.
Okay.
Yeah, but you got to look where that second is, Jim.
That's not the dream scenario. That's not what you would want, but that's probably what I settle for.
If that's what they'll take, I think that deal's going to happen.
I'd love to see it. I think, the second-round draft picks quite often are very functional and valuable players on your team. You add another second-round pick, gives you draft maneuverability, gives you depth. And, you know, the interesting thing here is if the Vikings think that Adrian Peterson can, like, win him a Super Bowl this next year, then there's pressure to bring him back and play him. If this is going to be another step forward year, another transition year, another year of getting Bridgewater up to full speed, and Peterson's only going to be here one more year max, then I'd be inclined to get whatever value I could out of him at this point, because he's going to be gone in a year.
And I agree. I think we still have another transitional year before the Vikings. It's 2 years away to have that real team you want. So
I think so.
Okay.
The only thing about, I mean, if you took the second, you're getting the 60th overall pick as opposed to the first round's the 27th, so you're late in both rounds.
Right.
That's the only thing. I mean, if it was mid-round or better, then I don't know if they'd want, well, you know what, if you've decided you want to get something for him, you could get a second and a fourth out of him, or a second and a third.
And maybe the other factor about talking, you know, dirt about staying here is that what it does is you bring me back in the locker room. I'll run like heck when I'm out on the field, but it's going to be poison in the locker room because everybody's going to know I don't want to be here. It's bad morale. It's another issue to deal in the deck here, whether you really want me here or not. Because you bring me back
in. I'm going to disagree with you there.
Okay.
I think football players, especially in this sport where it's so short term and guys are always looking at the next injury, at the possibility of getting cut after the year, at, you know, very little guaranteed money, or at least not as much as should be. I actually think football players will handle it better than everybody else. I think the rest of the organization might be offended by him.
Right.
I think the media will be, many of us have already expressed what we feel about him right now. I think the fan base will be very conflicted, at least till he breaks his first long run. I think players just say, you know, do the best you can as long as you're healthy enough to get a paycheck and sleep.
And I also think, AP, when he gets in there with his friends and teammates,
yeah.
I mean, he had a great time in the locker room. Jim, you've been in there, too. You know, they're playing Nerf basketball. He's always joking around with his teammates. Once he's with his teammates, I don't think there'd be a problem in the locker room. There would be potentially others.
I really don't think there would be, and I also think that that's why you have an agent, so you can blame everything on the agent.
Or your wife, which is what he did also. Hey, Jim, what do you have coming up for besides Friday, which will be a big show? SueHannahUnfiltered.com.
Show ever. Tom Lenneman was with me last night at the local. Thursday night it's Michael Russo for my weekly chat with him at 5 o'clock at the Liffey, and then Friday at 5 o'clock at O'Gara's. Santavar is going to join me.
Never once in the whatever how many years since '84 when I came here has Sid ever called me anything but Santavar. But which is good. It's better than hearing him say Martina Navratilova.
I would take that given what he's called me.
Oh, he's called me that too.
Yeah.
All right, Jim. Thanks a lot. Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune and SuhanUnfiltered.com. Check out his podcast. We're going to take a quick break. Come back with our guy, Jabs, Jack Jablonski. Talk some hockey with Jack from sunny California where he's going to school. Good young man. We'll be right back.
Here's Sports Radio 105, The Ticket on iHeartRadio. Now back to the Bob Sansevier Show. Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
How many years before Jack Jablonski was born, Marsh, do you think this song came out?
20.
At least.
Real music.
Really, that's right. Joined by Marsh Hallberg from Hallberg Criminal Defense and our guy, our Southern California correspondent, Jack Jablonski. Jack, how are you?
Doing well, guys. How are you?
Good. We had snow the other day. How about you, Jeff Snow?
Nope. We're at about 80 and sunny, and I'm looking at the ocean right now. How about you?
Is that all you do now is go to the ocean?
Yeah.
Are you still on break?
No, I'm not, but... I don't have class today, so might as well hang out at the ocean.
How'd you pull that one off? I thought you had, like, this class where you had the big test in.
That's Monday, Wednesday.
Were you Santa Monica? Where
oh.
You at?
I am in Manhattan Beach right now.
Oh, I just talked to a guy from Manhattan Beach today. That's a great place.
Great place. It's nice.
Well, I was going to say, Jack, is Manhattan Beach, I know Venice Beach is where all the muscle, you know, the weightlifters are, had been, and that was like the boardwalk. Is Manhattan Beach more like Santa Monica? I mean, is it just a very nice,
it's not as nice as, I mean, it's not as, what do you want to say, highbrow? Yeah, ritzy is Santa Monica is. It's more just oceanside city. It's more of a village kind of feel to it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's a little bit like San Francisco with the hills.
Yeah.
But beyond that, it is a very just kind of very beach oriented.
What was that? Do we have a duck there?
There's a horn. Oh,
something quacking.
I tried to find the quietest. Area, but so far it's not working out too well.
Now, one last question because I'm curious about Manhattan Beach. Is there a boardwalk there? I mean, what? No. So you just basically go and people just walk on down to the beach through the rocks or through are there houses that you have to? Is there only several private entries to it?
No, it's wide open when it comes to the beach, but yeah, it's a little bit neighborhoody, and then there's a pier, and beyond that, there's a little bit of a boardwalk that it's not too flashy. It's just kind of like a little walk area along the beach, so it's nice, but
not too bad.
How are USC Trojans doing, Jack? Any big Trojans news?
No, not really. Other than I know USC football is pretty happy with the signing. And beyond that, they're, I think, pre-ranked number 3 for next year. So
are they already ranked that?
A lot of excitement there.
That's big.
Well, yeah. Jack, let me ask you, because you obviously, I know you're at Southern Cal, but UCLA is not that far away. Is there a lot of talk about them being in the Sweet 16, or is it in California, do people really care that much about sports?
The thing with L.A. is it's so bandwagon when it comes to sports with, they don't really hop on until they really make a run. So there hasn't been a whole lot of talk with UCLA. They've kind of slipped in there quietly, and there hasn't been a lot of focus on them, I think, nationally, just because of all the other headlines with the with basketball. So nothing too crazy yet, but if they win another game, then I think people will start going crazy.
Now, how about the Kings? I would have thought by now the Kings would have a spot locked up.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of people did. The biggest surprise is how long Calgary has held on. And along with that, losing their captain, Giordano, you have to look at the way Vancouver has also played without Miller. Both teams have held their own, and LA's, I wouldn't say they're in panic mode, but you can definitely see them watching the scoreboard. I was able to go to the Kings game against Vancouver last Saturday, and that was a neat opportunity, but unfortunately for the Kings, they fell short by a few goals for that game.
Well, your wild can help out the Kings by beating Calgary on Friday night.
Yeah, and I think we're all for that. Another 2 points for Minnesota would be great. LA, you know, they need a little bit of help when it comes to the rest of the league, and Minnesota could definitely be at their help. But you know, later on down the schedule, I know Minnesota plays Calgary, and that's a big game. I think this Saturday as well. But, I mean, Minnesota plays LA.
Yep. Now, Jack, when you look, I know you follow the Wild, and you look at the standings. It really, it's when you look at it, it's becoming a two-team. Really, just the two teams, maybe Calgary or LA, if they can try to, if they make a run to get into, to make it three teams for the wild card. But at Minnesota and Winnipeg, both of them having good runs, and one has 80, Wild have 89 points in the first wild card spot. Winnipeg's at 88. Then LA's at 84, only two behind Calgary, which is third in the Pacific, and only four behind Vancouver, which is second in the Pacific. So, but things are starting to separate a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. I think you definitely have the two wild card spots. I would say probably locked up to this point with Minnesota and Winnipeg. And Winnipeg kind of keeps winning quietly. You know, there's not a whole lot of national news with them. But no matter what, they're going to be tough in the playoffs, assuming they get in. Winnipeg in the playoffs, just with the atmosphere and the love of the game that they have in Canada without, you know, this being their first playoff run. They could be dangerous in the first round, you know, without a little bit lack of talent compared to the one seed that they'll play in the first round, you know, but the home ice advantage for Winnipeg could be dangerous. That being said, yeah, I really do think it's going to come down to Calgary and LA for that last third seed in the Pacific Conference. And right now, I do think that LA is going to get in. They both have tough schedules coming up, but with the inexperienced team of Calgary, it could be a little dangerous going into those last 10 games.
Now, Jack, how closely have you been following Anaheim? Because right now, you know, and if they finish as a second wild card, they'd be facing Anaheim in the first round. Right now, it looks like they could be facing St. Louis. But Anaheim, of the teams out there, is that one of the scarier ones in the Western Conference? I mean, they have the best record, but in terms of matching up with the Wild, would they rather face, if you're the Wild, do you want St. Louis or do you want Anaheim?
Well, if you're the Minnesota Wild, you want to play Nashville. You know, they've kind of fallen off in the last few weeks, but right now, I think that the Wild match up better against St. Louis. Anaheim's a dangerous team. With Getzlaff and Terry, those two, you know, being together for so long. And I think the dangerous part of that is the physicality. You know, for a Minnesota aspect, you know, you don't really realize how dangerous the Western Conference is in the sense of the Pacific Division because of how physical they are. Minnesota's a very small team. And Getzlaff and a lot of their bigger, more physical forwards and even third-line grinders are really going to become a problem when it comes to the Fontaines and the Granlins and our forwards in that category.
You're getting a little wind out there in Manhattan Beach, it sounds like.
Yeah, sorry about that.
No,
there's
sorry.
A little breeze, and they got a helicopter.
No, it's fine.
Right
now, Jack, you know, you mentioned Nashville, and St. Louis has a one-point lead on Nashville. Both of these teams have been struggling lately. You got St. Louis has lost three in a row, and the Wild helped contribute to that. But over the last 10, Nashville's 3-6-1, so neither one is having the, you know, a closing the way you'd like to. And if they can hold that first wild card spot, they'll wind up playing one or the other, because I don't think Chicago's
exactly
going to move up there. They
no,
could.
Chicago seems to be consistently sitting in that third seed without Kane. I don't see them going on a huge run to finish the season, but as you said, 3-6-1 in the last 10 and a 3-game win streak for St. Louis. I mean, Minnesota being, what, 21-5 in their last 26 games, I think a lot of teams are afraid to play us right now, just the way it was Kuznick playing it and the mojo that the Wild forwards especially have started to put pucks in the net.
As well they should be scared. Jack Jablonski, always great talking to you. We'll talk to you again next Tuesday. Jack, have a great time at Manhattan Beach. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, guys. Talk to you next
week. All right. And thank you so much to Marsh Hallberg from Hallberg Criminal Defense for sticking with us. It's always great to have Marsh in studio with us. He'll be back with us. He's with us every Tuesday. Hellboy's with us every day. And by the way, how much if you want to rent a llama?
$65 a day, minimum 3 days.
3 days or 3 hours?
It's got to be three hours.
This is what Sam told me.
Well, Sam.
It can't be hours. It's got to be hours. It's got to be days. It's got to be hours. My God, get it right, woman. Anyway, well, thank you, Sam. We'll be, stick around. We got Superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson coming up. So don't go anywhere. You stay right here. You hear? See you later.
Your all-day sports talk leader, 105 The Ticket.